Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Bob Surratt.
I am the morning DJ at WGN.
6:40, time for our Monday morning appointment with the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. Doc, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bob. How are you doing?
Well, I'm about 25%, which is about average for me on a Monday at this hour. And concerned about this 10-week high we have here in Illinois on the positivity rate. And I see here where, about 22% of the population of Illinois has received at least one vaccination. But what do you make of the positivity rate climbing?
Yeah, it's a little concerning. In Illinois, actually, about 38% have received one dose. 22% are fully vaccinated. So that's promising. But we are concerned, and we're starting to see, if you saw a study that came out of Peak in Illinois, that many of the variants are now being noted in Illinois. We knew the UK variant was definitely the predominant variant up here, which is much more contagious. And unfortunately now down in Pekin, they've been randomly studying positive tests, and they found other variants in that metropolitan area as well.
And what is going on with our neighbors in Michigan? A big surge there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're starting to see these certain states just having these huge surges, and whether it's the feeling the spring break effect right now, whether it's complacency, whether it's, you know, some of the states that have removed masking, that's very concerning. And we're really hoping that this next wave is just a little ripple as we start to vaccinate more people. But I can tell you, we're starting to get more and more concerned.
And there's a lot of information now coming out about the what are termed long haulers, people who get the virus, get over it, but then have brain fog or other symptoms for a long time after that. Do we know anything more about that? And also, I've talk to some people who say that they had some of these symptoms, but they disappeared after getting the second vaccine. What do we know about this?
Yeah, so we are really on a learning curve for long haulers. You know, right now, and it's interesting because when you look at the number of long haulers, people say, gosh, I've heard studies where it's 30% of people and 40% of people, and certainly that is the case. But as you spread that out now, it's one doctor's office may have a handful of patients that might have pulmonary problems or heart problems or neuro problems. So really what we're looking at least in the major metropolitan areas where we have academic institutions, is trying to get all these long haulers into clinics so that we can study them. Northwestern has one. I believe Rush has one. So what they're doing there is they're saying, okay, tell us your symptoms. And then they walk back through the entire infectious process with them. And then they're trying to figure out, okay, what medications can we use to treat? How can we do other treatments potentially, whether it be respiratory therapy treatments or other cognitive treatments? And then also trying to figure out, all right, if this is going to continue, what can we do in a preventative nature besides vaccines? So, you know, the study that you might have been mentioning, you know, came out of Lancet early last week talking about the neurologic symptoms, you know. So people who are thinking of this is just another mini flu, I would ask you to read some of these articles that are coming out right now that make this very concerning for people, even those that never were hospitalized, just had the infection and got over it. But the symptoms that have continued have been very troublesome.
What you're seeing at Northwestern and what you're hearing from your colleagues at other hospitals, these hospitalizations now in Illinois, are they mainly individuals who have not been vaccinated? Is that it?
Yep. Yeah, almost exclusively. You know, the vaccine, you have to remember, the vaccine is there to protect you, and it's really there to protect you from severe illness and hospitalization. Those were the two things that they ran it up against. And let me explain that. So when they were doing the clinical trial, they gave a lot of people the vaccine and a lot of people the placebo. The only ones that they captured to see if they actually had COVID were those that had symptoms or those that were hospitalized. So we know that the vaccine works very well based on those clinical trials. And if you look at the numbers in Chicago, the vaccine works amazingly well. You know, just a very small number of people have been hospitalized that had been vaccinated. Well, remember, we're talking about vaccination efficacy rates of 94, 95, if you look at Johnson & Johnson in the, you know, mid to upper 70s. So the vaccine's working quite well.
Back with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. A lot of listener questions about allergies now, and some people get very nervous because they start coughing or sneezing, think they have the virus, but it's allergy season. What's the best thing for people to take for allergies, Doc? And by the way, how can you really differentiate between allergies and maybe a symptom of the virus?
Yeah, so you know, differentiating, most people that have allergies know they have allergies, and they know that this is going to be the time that they're going to have these symptoms. They're also not going to have a fever, and, you know, they're not going to feel like they got beat up, you know, like they're really sick. They're going to have these aggravating symptoms. So we know that allergies right now, if you're allergic to trees, tree pollen is extremely high right now, so that's going to be the one that's going to be tricking you. And we always hear people say, well, you know, I should take an antihistamine. And, you know, what does that actually mean? Well, histamine's a chemical in our body that when we're exposed to something that the body sees foreign, histamine is released. And when that is released, it turns on all the side effects that we get, the congestion, the sneezing, the coughing. And that is a way for the body to rid itself of the allergen. Prior to about, oh, probably 15, 20, maybe 15 years ago, you know, all we had was Benadryl, where you took 50 milligrams of Benadryl, and sure, your allergies were much better, but you took a nap for a while because it was sedating. Mm-hmm. And now we have many good non-sedating antihistamines, the Zizols, the Zyrtex, the Claritins, the Allegras, all of those great antihistamines that block the release of histamine, help you treat your symptoms, and then also don't make you drowsy. So they work fairly well. The biggest thing for this is for people to stay on top of it and don't wait for the symptoms. This is an antihistamine. You're trying to block the release of histamine. You're not trying to take care of the effects once the histamine has been released. For those people, you need the decongestants because the histamine's already been released and is causing all the congestion.
Another question we keep getting, if you've had COVID-19, do you need to get vaccinated? What's the latest on that?
Well, need is a relative term. Certainly, if you've had COVID, you're going to have antibodies to it, and you're going to have some protection. We don't know how long the natural immunity is going to last, and we also don't know the people that got COVID and maybe were asymptomatic or lightly symptomatic, how big of an allergic memory they're going to have. Excuse me, not an allergic memory. They're going to have as a memory to fight the infection in the future. But what we have seen is individuals who have COVID and then get the vaccine get about a 10 times the response rate than just someone who hasn't. So I strongly recommend anybody who had COVID get the vaccine. You're going to have better protection than all of us. And really, that's going to be the key as we start to slow down the spread of this illness.
Do doctors such as yourself agree with the new CDC guidance stating that fully vaccinated people can visit other fully vaccinated people without wearing masks or maintaining social distance?
100%. So we have to remember now, the people who have been vaccinated and are wearing masks, the concern is about asymptomatic exposure to someone who has not been vaccinated. Two people who have been vaccinated, you're not worried about exposing each other because you've both been fully vaccinated at this 95% effective rate. So that's probably the big thing that people need to understand. Once you're in a group that everyone has been fully vaccinated, the mask can come off. But you really have to be careful to make sure that everyone has, because we're still trying to figure out, and it's looking pretty promising, that those who have been vaccinated may not spread the illness. But we don't know that for sure. And with the upsurge right now, we're trying to be as careful as possible.
And are you fully vaccinated 2 weeks after the second dose, or in the case of Johnson & Johnson, 2 weeks after that single dose?
Correct. After that first dose, we're seeing people that are getting effective rates that are probably 70-80%. And then after that second dose, 14 days, 10 to 14 days later, you're getting up to that 90%. And then with the J&J, yeah, it's going to take that body about 10, 14 days to get the full response that we want. So really, you know, this is a kind of a crunch time for us as you look at, you know, the numbers here in Illinois about how many have been fully vaccinated, you know, which is what, I had the number here somewhere.
It's 22% was the number I gave.
Yeah, 2.7 million have been fully vaccinated. 4.8 million have gotten one dose. So, you know, within a couple of weeks here, those numbers will really start to ramp up higher as we're getting a little bit more Johnson & Johnson this week in the state of Illinois, and that makes a huge impact right off the bat.
So you can still carry the virus and spread it after you've been vaccinated? Is that accurate?
Well, we don't know that for sure. But that is one of the things that we're testing right now. When these virus, when these vaccines were tested, they didn't take those further tests out at the time of the closure. So now they're looking at those same individuals. That's why we're starting to get studies that show that 6 months after the Pfizer vaccine, people are still protected at 91%. We're starting to see these AstraZeneca studies coming out showing that those who have been vaccinated are not spreaders. So we're really still in the infancy of this vaccine and finding out more about it. And in the meantime, we're just going to be cautious.
All right, here comes a technical medical question from the sports department. Dave?
Oh, no, this is not technical or medical, but it's about a name that popped up on the leaderboard at Augusta over the weekend, Doc, that I'm sure you knew something about. Will Zalatoris. Give us a little on Will Zalatoris here.
You know, you can't be more proud of a kid like that. And if you haven't watched his interviews, please watch his interviews, because here's a kid that was, I don't even, his ranking was so low, it was like non-existent. And for him to come into the Masters, for one thing, if you watched him play, kid's a phenomenal player, 24 years old, but just has the right attitude as well. He's like, why should I be afraid? I'm here, you know, and he just really played well. And even coming down the stretch, Dave, look at his birdie on 18. You know, look at how he played as well as he played. It was just phenomenal to see this in a young kid playing that well. And that was actually, if you watch the tournament, he was probably the excitement of the tournament because a lot of people felt it was kind of over at the turn.
Yep, no question. And he had that. The reason I thought you probably had seen a little of this before, because he finished tied for second at the Evans Scholars Invitational last year at Chicago Highlands.
He did. He's a proud guy for us, you know, Western Golf. For him to play as well as he did at the Highlands and then to play there, it's one. That's the one where you wish he would have won the Evans, because then you'd really have a great highlight for him. But certainly just knowing that he's advanced as much as he has from where he was playing last year to where he's waking up today.
Golf isn't my thing. I can only comment on the problems I have making my shot through the windmill there at parking.
But this was very cool.
Yeah, well, I know. And we've got a correspondent from the Golf Channel coming on with us between 7 and 7:30 this morning. Do you know Alexandra, Dave? Or maybe Doc Most does. I don't know. You guys seem to be totally into this.
Yeah, no, Dave and I are buddies with Kurt Byram from the Golf Channel. Oh, yeah. He's our go-to guy.
There you go.
Okay, Alexandra O'Loughlin, is that who we've got on coming up? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, all
great.
Right.
But really, if you have a chance, listen to Will's interviews. Listen to and the kid, you know, he looks like a typical California surfer, but he's got just a great smile, great attitude, and really stepped up his game, which I was really, it was very cool.
More about golf next Monday when we talk to Dr. Most at this time.
Excellent.
have a great week, Doc.
Thank you. Got it. Take care, guys.
Thank you, as always.